No, no. Garden.
Crazy. Huh? Close? Bring the
shut it in.
The shade.
The shade. I showed Richard the Hare Krishna people movie that Yadavara made. Hmm. And Jamuna Mataji made some prasadam for him to taste. So he's gotten some introduction already.
Okay. You came here not too many years ago. Did you ever expect that it would grow into what it has over the years?
We came in 1965.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
11 years ago. And in a relatively short period of time, you've managed to gather around you a great number of people. Has it surprised you, or has
yes,
it?
Yes, I did not expect. When I came here, I did not expect, because we have got so many strictures. So I did not expect that here the people will accept my proposal.
Your proposal?
Yeah. Because our proposal is no sinful life, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. So I did not expect that anyone will accept this proposal.
It is, are those three sort of proscriptions?
Four.
Are they prerequisites to accepting your knowledge?
The real thing is, we can easily understand that I am not this body. There is a living force within the body. Is it very difficult to understand? This body is not sufficient. The real body means the living force within the body. Is it not? You are talking. What is the difference? You are not talking. Now, if the body is dead, you cannot talk. So, what is that force within you that is causing you to talk? Do you know anything about that?
Have I thought about it, me personally?
No. Have you ever thought about it?
Yes.
So, what is that?
What did I think about that?
Yeah.
I've always viewed myself as myself.
Not myself, that's what, that you are not this body. You are not this body. Is not yourself. Did you ever think of it?
Well, when I say myself, I should perhaps define it. Myself being all that I can recall being before, as well as my present.
Now, how do you distinguish between a dead man and a living man?
Well,
the living man is important, but the dead man is not important.
Not his physical body, no.
Yes. Then within the physical body, there is something which is making him living man.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? What is the dead man? Something is missing. That body is dead. Otherwise, the body is dead.
Right. Okay. His ability to...
Yeah, body, the same hands, legs, mouth, eyes, ears, hair, everything is there. But now they're crying, oh, Mr. Satan said, what is that finish?
Well, his ability to share...
Now, what is that ability? That is my question. Why this important man is now useless? Although the same hands, legs, mouth, everything is there. But it is useless.
Well, he's no longer.
So, what was the important thing?
The important thing was his ability to share physically and intellectually.
Yes, life. That means that important thing was within the body. Now it is missing. That is distinction between dead man and living man.
That, as far as I'm concerned, that's it.
That is very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
This nice body can walk on account of presence of that important thing. Otherwise, he is useless.
Right.
So, we are preaching about that important thing.
Isn't that the object of all philosophies, both personal
that is,
and...
That is the real philosophy. We must take care of the living force within the body.
Right. And aren't there many ways that you can do that? Aren't there many approaches?
First of all, let us understand the importance of that living force.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shall find out means how to keep it fit. People are not aware of this living force. They accept this dead body as important. That is material civilization.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking care of the body, but not the living force which is making this body important.
And you think that is a problem
that is,
with
that
many
is,
people?
That is wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Education means to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the important thing within this body. Otherwise, cats and dogs, they are also working with the bodily concept of life. The dog is jumping, barking, he's thinking I'm wrong on this body.
Okay, as far as nurturing the body through knowledge, is the goal of what you teach to eliminate obstacles in...
Yes.
That is the goal?
Everything is aimed at to eliminate obstacles. Now, so far the body is concerned, there are so many obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is struggling hard. That is for struggle for existence, to get out of the obstacles. Whole struggle for existence is to save ourselves from the obstacles.
Right. How do you determine what's an obstacle?
Obstacles. The ultimate obstacle is that you don't like to die, but you can die any moment. This is the greatest obstacle. Why don't you think of it? You are sitting here, you are a young man, then you may die immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest obstacle. You have got so many plans to do in your life, but you can die any moment. Is it not an obstacle?
The presence of death,
yes.
The possibility of death.
Yes.
To me, I don't think really it is for me.
Why not? You don't like to die?
I don't think that doesn't bother me.
It bothers. Suppose you have got some plan. You have to do. Everyone has got some plan, ideas, and some improvement. But how? What is the guarantee that you will be able to execute that plan?
There is
because you can die at any moment.
Right, there is no.
So it is not obstacle?
No.
How is that? It is not obstacle. You are planning something that I shall do this. You may not be a very important man, but there are many important ones. The leaders of the society, they are planning that I shall make my nation like this way, my family like this. Everyone is planning. But where is the guarantee that he will be able to fulfill the plan? Death may take place any moment. Is it not an obstacle?
I don't view it as an obstacle. I really don't view it as an obstacle. The fact that my plans may be altered.
Personal experience that people do not want to die until he fulfills some his brainwash plan. I have seen one of my friend, he was dying, he was at that time 54 years old only, and he was begging the doctor, my doctor, medical man, can you not give me 4 years' time? I can fulfill my plan. He was a very big businessman, so he was planning something to do. But doctor said that he cannot survive. So he was begging the mercy of the doctor, can you not give me at least 4 years' time? As if the doctor can give him life. He was feeling, this is obstacle, I'm going to die without fulfilling my plan. I think that psychology is everywhere.
But generally, how
you may not be afraid of, but generally.
Generally, how can you determine an obstacle
I've
in
seen
your
it.
Life?
Though? I've seen it. That you are begging the doctor, please give me 4 years' life, give me some medicine so that I live. At least for 4 years, I finish my plan. I said it. You are the first man that you are not afraid of death. But I see everyone is afraid of death. You see? As soon as there is immediately silent, I've seen also.
Are you afraid of death?
Huh?
Are you afraid of death?
No, my position is different because I know I'm not going to die. My position is different. Because we are confident. Nahannate hannamane sarire. We are not going to die. Death is no question for us.
Okay.
So therefore, we are not afraid of death. There is another thing. But generally, people, they actually. Are you not afraid of disease?
I would not wish to be in great pain or agony, no.
But there is pain. As soon as you are in disease, there is great pain.
Yeah, but there are quick deaths and there are slow deaths.
No. Everyone is afraid of this. Are you not afraid of old age and invalidity?
Not particularly. I mean, it's a part of life.
Promised that you're liberated.
I'm what?
Liberated.
Oh.
Actually, everyone, that is the problem of life. Otherwise, why there are so many medical colleges, drug shops, and medicine, just to avoid disease. Otherwise, there is no need of arrangement. Everyone is afraid of disease, not to suffer from disease. That's a fact. If you say that you are not afraid of disease, that is something new. But unless we are afraid of disease, why there is this memorial hospital, this drug shop, this pharmacy? Why these things are required? You don't want it.
Do you? You have a doctor, though, you said, right?
No, I am not a doctor.
You have no doctor?
My point is that these are the problems, birth, death, old age, and disease. This is our point.
That these are the basic problems of most men.
Yeah.
Death and fears of death and disease.
Yeah. Everyone.
You too?
Everyone. I am everyone also.
Okay.
I have taken up my translation one, Bhagavatam. I am trying to live at least up to the time I finish my transition. That is all. I do not wish to die before I finish. That is also. Everyone is like.
Well, what happens if you do die before you finish?
Well, you are talking something extraordinary. Everyone has got some ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do it. And death, disease, old age, these are impediments.
Mm-hmm.
That is the point. No one wants to die premature death.
What is a premature
man,
death?
A family man wants to see that his sons are properly educated or they are well-placed and so on, so on, so many things. And if all of a sudden death comes, he becomes sorry. I could not finish my business. Therefore, death is impediment.
You were widely respected in India before you came to the United States.
Why bring that question? First of all, let us finish this question.
Well, no. I am getting to it. If you had died before you'd come to the United States, would that have been a tragedy?
Yes. That would have been a big tragedy.
For all of us.
That is premature. That's the example Prabhupada is giving. If a man wants to educate his sons, but he dies before they can be educated, then to him, that is a premature death. So therefore, he does not want that. In fact, he's afraid. Please, I don't want to die before I see my sons educated. So that is a fear of death.
Therefore, death is an obstacle. Mm-hmm. That is the point.
An obstacle to the goals of his life.
One who has no responsibility, that is another thing. But a responsible man wants to finish the responsibility. And if death comes before that, that's an obstacle. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about smaller obstacles in life, though, than death?
I mean, this is the major obstacles. And subordinate to these obstacles, there are hundreds and millions of obstacles.
There are millions of obstacles.
Yes, this is the main obstacle.
Right, okay. But, I mean, okay, you say most people are, almost everyone, except me perhaps, is concerned about death. But how about the smaller obstacles, which nevertheless can make people very depressed today, neurotic? How do you recognize and live with them or eliminate them?
Our point is, there are hundreds and millions of obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
If they are, summarized, they become birth, death, old age, and disease. Mm. This is my point. There are hundreds and thousands of obstacles. But if you take all of them and make a summary, then it comes four. Birth, death, old age, and disease.
He wants to know, Srila Prabhupada, if these are the obstacles, how do we, Krishna conscious people, deal with these obstacles or eliminate these obstacles?
Yes, that we are doing by Krishna consciousness movement.
How?
Because if we try to understand Krishna, simply by understanding Him, I am going to get a life which will be free of all obstacles.
And how do you do that?
That you see what I'm doing.
By living this type of life?
Yeah.
But what about the people who don't live here at the ashram? People who live, if you want to call it, the outside world?
They're not getting the opportunity. We're giving the opportunity. Come here and live here.
This is the only way?
Yeah.
Living in an ashram.
Not living and to take the philosophy,
mm-hmm, right,
of the policy or process, then your life is successful.
It's like our householders, they have their apartments. Mm-hmm. They're always associated with Krishna,
right,
service.
That's why we're writing so many books, to give them enlightenment. This is the process. It is an educational moment. How to overcome these obstacles? That is the samadhi.
Do you think there are any other ways which are equally effective?
No.
Isn't the spiritual benefit that people in the ashram here get?
He must know what is spirit. They do not know even what is spirit.
Well, okay. There are many contented people in the world. There are many people who are at peace with themselves.
Contented as he is uncontented. He has no problem. But the best contented living being is an ass. He has no complaint. But that is not civilization.
That is not what?
That is not civilization or life.
Okay. But being able to live with your limitations and be therefore content, within those limitations. I've known many people.
Like I already said, the animal lives very content within its limitation. It doesn't like to improve. But that is not human life.
Well, okay. But there, I know many people who are relatively contented and still growing.
What is the contentment? If you have got the problems unsolved, that is ass's contentment. Ass does not know how to check death. He does not think of it. But a human being, intelligence, whether the disease can be checked, whether the death can be checked, that is human being. The ass cannot think.
Right.
So if we remain contented like an ass, so that is animal life.
Right. But what still people carry on. People
let them carry on. The ass is also carrying on. That is another thing. But distinction between ass's life and human life, the ass cannot estimate the impediments or the obstacles of life. A human being can see, and it is his duty how to overcome.
Pardon me while I get that down. I know what I guess I'm saying then is that there I know many people who do not live in ashrams who
I'm not advising that you live in ashram.
Mm-hmm.
But just like here is a McGill University.
Mm-hmm.
So they are giving permanent order of our books. So the university authorities, they are not coming to our ashram. But they will get the benefit by reading our books.
Right. Okay. But I know people who have not had the benefit of reading your books, and yet, as far as I know, and I've gotten to know them very well, they seem to be living lives which, for them, work. The obstacles they can cope with. And I guess what I'm saying is that, or advancing, is that perhaps
there are many men who do not go to the university and live peacefully.
Right.
But that does not mean university is useless.
No.
There will be many men may not come to us. But that does not mean this institution is useless.
Right.
But it is. It has its importance for the serious men.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the asses.
Right, but do you think...
Just like this university, they are serious for education. They are ordering our books.
Mm-hmm.
Others may not order, they are not reading. That means they are not serious.
Only the people who are in...
Yes, knowledge is for the intelligent class of men.
But there are many types of knowledge, and there are many ranges. Depths of knowledge.
So, in many types, this is also one type of knowledge.
Right.
So why
it's not the only type, that's what I'm...
No, there are different aims also. If you are interested to become an expert medical man, then the knowledge is different. If you want to become an engineer, the knowledge is different. Similarly, if one wants to overcome all the obstacles, then this is the education.
Mm-hmm.
This is the final.
What about other religions?
Other things, you become interested in medical, you become a medical man, you become an engineer, you become other, you take that education. But one who is interested to stop all obstacles of life, this is the only education.
This is the only one?
Yes.
Have you studied other religions?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Without studying, how can I say? I am challenging, not saying. We are challenging. We are not saying only.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to overcome all obstacles of life, this is the only religion. That's all. Or if you have different aims of life, there are different departments of knowledge. But if you want this knowledge, then this is the education.
And according to you, this is the only spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
What you write about and have studied. What would you classify other works, say the Quran or the Bible or any other religious?
Well, they're all semi to this aim of life.
They're in the same aim.
Yeah.
But do you think they are successful?
They follow the education. Just like Christ is speaking of kingdom of God. So if you follow Christ, there is hope that you go to kingdom of God. But if you don't follow, you simply rubber stamp, I'm Christian, then it is useless.
Mm-hmm. But there are other...
They are of the same type.
Yeah, but do they have any value as far as you're concerned?
Oh, yes, there's value.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at.
There is value.
He probably meant that the other branches of knowledge outside of religion.
Oh, yeah, right. I wasn't talking about that.
So there was
right, I wasn't talking about a technical or secular knowledge at all. I was talking about other
any
spiritual
science,
philosophies.
Any knowledge who is trying to give enlightenment about God.
Right.
That is the same line as we have.
Right, but those people who study, say, okay, to use an example, the Pope. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a man who has dedicated his whole life, publicly, personally, spiritually, however you define it, to Christianity, specifically the Catholic Church. Now, apparently, and for all intents and purposes, his life seems to work for him.
The same thing is, the Catholic Church is the original church, I think.
The original Christian church, yeah.
So, then why there are so many varieties?
Well, because
now
other...
hundreds and thousands of churches are there.
Right. Other people find
so
different
that means they
work.
Don't like Catholic Church. They don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're missing the point.
Of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
True, I agree.
Yeah, that is.
But is the point of the Catholic Church the only point that's to be made?
If you accept Christianity, then the Catholic process, I think, I do not know. That is the only way.
But is the point that the Catholic Church makes the only point to be made?
No, I mean to say, any church, original, authoritatively, that is genuine, if you deviate from that, then you cannot claim to that school.
Granted.
It's an example that if the Catholic Church is presenting the teachings of Jesus as it is, and then later on other churches deviate a little, then to deviate from the teachings of Jesus is bad, and to stick strictly to the teachings of Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
In Christianity, that's mm-hmm. the idea.
But the goal is similar in
the
Christianity.
The goal cannot be similar. If you deviate, the goal is different.
No. The goal generally is the same.
There is no, because the goal is one. So if you deviate, then you go away from the goal.
Right, but the goal seems to me, as I have studied Christianity...
What is the goal?
The goal of Christianity is to make a better life here on earth for the followers of Christ and after death.
That's nice. That is our preaching also.
That's your goal also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That a medical
now,
student is being trained up in medical college, and when he becomes practitioner, the same thing.
Okay,
there's no change. There's no change.
Yeah, I think you're talking about specific.
No. This is a Christian religion.
Uh
huh. So, going to the church is practicing how to stand in relationship with Christ and God. So after death, if he's perfect, he goes back to home, back to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is practice. If one is interested in going back to home, back to God, then this is the only way.
Okay, let me just say something, and then, you know, like, you can take it however you want. It seems to me that there, all through life, men, all through history, men have been more or less striving for the same general goal. The happiness here on earth.
General goal, you must speak. If you say the same general goal, everyone says this is also the general goal, this is also general. You must specifically mention.
Okay, I'm
what
saying.
Is that?
Okay, that goal is happiness here on earth, secure, and however you define happiness, security, well-being, food on the table, however you want to. Mm-hmm. And.
But if somebody says that I don't require to go to church for happiness, I find happiness by drinking, let me go to the brother and drink. That is also happiness. You cannot say.
Well, I'm thinking
they
happiness.
They can say, I don't care to go to the church. I am getting happiness here.
I'm thinking of it in a larger sense than that.
Happiness must be happiness.
Well,
it doesn't matter that because Raja accepts something, happiness, that is happiness. No, happiness must be real happiness.
Okay, what do you define
real
happiness?
One may like it or not like it, that is not the question. Happiness is real happiness.
Right, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
So,
a spiritual
if
happiness.
You simply say happiness, if you do not explain what is real happiness, then somebody will say, I am feeling happiness by drinking. Yeah. Why are you asking me to go to the church? You go, I don't go. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Then you have to explain what is real happiness.
I would
like that real happiness is obtainable by going to the church or going to the brother liquor house.
Well, I don't think that any...
You don't think, but he thinks that here is happiness. You cannot induce him. He thinks. Just like a few minutes ago, you said that there is no obstacle. But we think there is obstacle. There's different thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They
okay.
don't care what is God. What is? I don't want to know what is God. I am getting happiness. Finished.
Okay, but continuing, you know, continuing. People, I think, are basically the same in many respects as far as
that
goals.
That is wrong.
That is wrong. Okay, why?
I've already explained one is getting happiness by drinking and one is getting happiness by going to the church.
Yeah, well,
you cannot say that they are the same.
Well, I think they're the same in intent.
Now, what do you mean by that?
They're the same.
First of all, describe what is happiness. Whether drinking is happiness or going to the church is happiness. Therefore, you have to define what is happiness.
Right.
Then we have to select whether this happiness is obtainable in the liquor shop or in the church. You must have clear idea of happiness. And if you speak generally, then he will say, I am getting happiness. Why are you insisting to go to the church? I'm getting happiness. Therefore, you have to define what is happiness.
Okay. I would say happiness is the pursuit of, to you, what makes your life work worthwhile.
No, we are not working. We are not interested in working.
Well, when I say work, I mean what gives you an inner respect for yourself. I think it all boils down to self-respect and appreciation of...
What is this self-respect?
Self-respect? Self-respect would be an appreciation and cognizance of your spiritual and physical being.
No, what is my actual being?
What is
physical,
man's
physical being or a spiritual being?
Both. I mean, they're part of their. To me, they're one, and you know, they're one manifestation.
And after death, what happens?
Do I feel personally?
No, everyone.
I think everyone has different ideas. There are many different ideas about what happens after death.
Therefore, we have to know what is reality.
What is
reality? Therefore, we have to know what is reality. Simply, ideas will not do.
Okay, reality, I would say, is
and
a series
do not
of
know,
moments.
I would say.
Hmm?
You say that you do not know. But how will you say if you do not know? What is reality?
Oh, I know what reality is.
What is that?
Reality is a series of moments or a moment perceived by the senses.
That I've already explained. The drunkard is feeling. By thinking, his senses are very satisfied. That is reality.
Sure, it's his reality.
Yeah. Then why should you canvass him? Please come to church and accept Christianity.
Frankly, I don't know.
Huh?
I don't really know why he should be asked to go to church.
Then there is no need of church. Everyone can do whatever he thinks reality. There is no
reality
standard,
is not
no standard
a,
reality.
No, reality is not in itself a goal.
Then what is the
goal? It just is.
Then what is the goal?
I would say, you know, we discussed this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's trying to find what makes life
worthwhile.
That
means you do not know.
No, I think life is a pursuit. I don't think it.
What is that pursuit? If you have no aim or objective, you are going to school. The objective is to become a graduate. But if you do not know, what is the ultimate goal? What is this pursuit?
Why pursue something?
Yes,
what is the pursuit?
You are going to school, college. Suppose you are going to be graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not know what is the ultimate end of pursuit, then what is this pursuit? Simply blind?
No. It's just trying to make
but
your
that
life
must be
work.
Some goal, ultimate goal. That we must know. That is called pursuit. If you do not know what is the ultimate goal of life, then there is no meaning of pursuit.
Prabhupada is talking about an absolute reality, not a relative reality.
Yes.
What is your definition of an absolute reality?
That is final.
A goal?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the
relative
absolute reality?
Relative means it is understood in two ways. Absolute means there is no two ways, final.
Mm-hmm. It's the
quintessence of final. So what is the final aim of our life? That we must know.
Do you know?
No, yes, we know everyone.
What is
all
that?
All our students.
What is that? What is that absolute reality? That is the absolute goal.
The absolute goal is to understand that within this body there is a living force which is spiritual, and that spiritual force is a servant of God. It has a relationship with God, apart from how you perceive the world through your senses. Beyond that, there is a soul which has a relationship with God. That is the absolute reality. You may perceive the world in so many ways through your senses, but beyond that, within your body, there's a soul which is yearning for a relationship, a loving relationship with God. And if you neglect that relationship due to your senses or ignorance, then you're missing the reality of life. And you're living in an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Due to your senses, you could be living in illusion. The senses are not perfect instruments for understanding reality. There is another process for understanding reality. The senses are not perfect. Therefore, one should not depend upon the senses to understand reality. There's a greater process.
And how is that found?
You find out this verse, sukham mattam tekam jatat otendriya grahyam.
Second word, Srila Prabhupada?
Sukham Atantikam.
Sukham Atantikam Yattad Budhi Krayam Atindriyam Veti Yatra Nachayvayam Stitas Chalati Tatvataha.
Translation?
It's combined with some other verse. The stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi. When one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga, this is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks that there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact.
That is the translation?
That is the translation. Purport. By practice of yoga, one becomes gradually detached from material concepts. This is the primary characteristic of the yoga principle. And after this, one becomes situated in trance or samadhi, which means that the yogi realizes the super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence, without any of the misgivings of identifying the self with the super self. Yoga practice is more or less based on the principles of the Patanjali system. Some unauthorized commentators try to identify the individual soul with the super soul, and the monists think this to be liberation. But they do not understand the real purpose of the Patanjali system of yoga. There is an acceptance of transcendental pleasure in the Patanjali system, but the monists do not accept this transcendental pleasure out of fear of jeopardizing the theory of oneness. The duality of knowledge and knower is not accepted by the non-dualist. But in this verse, transcendental pleasure realized through transcendental senses is accepted. And this is corroborated by the Patanjali Muni, the famous exponent of the yoga system. The great sage declares in his Yoga Sutras, Purushartha Shunyanam Gunanam Pratiprashava Kaivalyam Swarupa Pratishta Va Chitti Shaktiriti. This Chitti Shakti, or internal potency, is transcendental. Purushartha means material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end, the attempt to become one with the Supreme. This oneness with the Supreme is called Kaivalyam by the monist. But according to Patanjali, this Kaivalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of his constitutional position. In the words of Lord Chaitanya, this state of affairs is called Cheto Darpana Marginam, or clearance of the impure mirror of the mind. This clearance is actually liberation, or Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. The theory of nirvana, also preliminary, corresponds with this principle. In the Bhagavatam, this is called Svarupena Vyavastiti. The Bhagavad Gita also confirms this situation in this verse. After nirvana, or material cessation, there is the manifestation of spiritual activities, or devotional service of the Lord, known as Krishna consciousness. In the words of the Bhagavatam, Svarupena Vyavastiti, this is the real life of the living entity. Maya, or illusion, is the condition of spiritual life contaminated by material infection. Liberation from this material infection does not mean destruction of the original eternal position of the living entity. Pantanjali also accepts this by his words, Kaivalyam Swarupa Pratishta Va Chitti Shakti Ariti. This Chitti Shakti, or transcendental pleasure, is real life. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutras as Anandamayo Bhyasa. This natural, transcendental pleasure is the ultimate goal of yoga and is easily achieved by execution of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga will be vividly described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Should I keep reading, Shiva? Continue? Should I continue?
They still done it.
There is a...
Yeah.
Another. In the yoga system, as described in this chapter, there are two kinds of samadhi, called sampragyata samadhi and asampragyata samadhi. When one becomes situated in the transcendental position by various philosophical researches, it is called sampragyata samadhi. In the asampragyata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, for one is then transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from the senses. When the yogi is once situated in that transcendental position, he is never shaken from it. Unless the yogi is able to reach this position, he is unsuccessful. Today's so-called yoga practice, which involves various sense pleasures, is contradictory. A yogi indulging in sex and intoxication is a mockery. Even those yogis who are attracted by the siddhis or perfections in the process of yoga are not perfectly situated. If the yogis are attracted by the byproducts of yoga, then they cannot attain the stage of perfection, as is stated in this verse. Persons, therefore, indulging in the make-show practice of gymnastic feats or siddhis should know that the aim of yoga is lost in that way. The best practice of yoga in this age is Krishna consciousness, which is not baffling. A Krishna conscious person is so happy in his occupation that he does not aspire after any other happiness. There are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practicing Hatha Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. But there is no such problem in executing Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But a person who is in pure bhakti yoga or in Krishna consciousness does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a bad bargain, and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous toward incidental occurrences such as accidents, disease, scarcity, and even the death of a most dear relative. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Agama Payino Nityas Tam Stitikshava Bharata, he endures all such incidental occurrences because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duties. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection in yoga practice.
Did you write, you wrote the purport? Okay. When you said that the person who is involved with Krishna consciousness makes the best use of a bad bargain, were you referring to life?
Yeah.
This physical life?
The physical.
Okay.
The physical life is a struggle for existence.
Is a struggle for existence. Why if a man who is an alcoholic, if that's the best that he can make of life, why is that bad?
That is not. He's wrongly.
Pardon me?
He's going in the wrong path.
Well, if that's the best that he can do.
He can change.
He can change?
Yes, he can change. Change is possible. But if he sticks, that is his selection.
But suppose drinking to him is better than what he has to put up with.
That is not actual fact. Drinking, nobody can be happy by drinking. That is not possible.
Okay. You said in the purport that tragedies of life, I'm paraphrasing, tragedies of life such as the death of even a close relative are mere incidental occurrences. But you said earlier that death to you was anything but a mere incidental occurrence, that it was the...
Irresponsible to the death. Death, although we have to meet death, mm-hmm. we are making provision that after death we become happy. Happy, of course, for us, in living condition or dead condition, there is happiness. That it will take time to understand. But taking superficially, death is not very pleasing. So, after death, that is mentioned in the Tatta Dehang Punarjan, we do not get again a material body. This is fine. Material body is the cause of pains and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't get the material body, if you remain in your spiritual body, and that is real enjoyment.
But then why are you, why do you fear this death of the physical body?
No, I do not fear.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because
the ordinary man.
Yeah, well, I don't either, and I'm not in Hare Krishna.
No, that is another thing. Because you do not know that you are risking your life without Krishna consciousness. That is it. You do not, that I have already said, that an innocent person doesn't know what is going to happen. But things are going to happen. That mm-hmm. you do not know.
Mm-hmm. After death.
Okay. So you must be aware what is going to happen after death. Then if you become fearless, that is secure. But without knowing, if you are not afraid, that is risky.
Okay. Are you familiar with the writings of Descartes?
We don't read anyone's.
Pardon me?
We don't read anyone's book.
You don't read any?
Except Bhagavad
Gita. Oh, I thought you said you studied other philosophies.
There are so many books we studied.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, there was a French philosopher in the 1700s named René Descartes. And
I think we have discussed him. Yeah.
You have discussed him? Okay. One of the things he said was that... Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's Pascal. I'm sorry, Descartes said something. I'm thinking of Pascal. Anyway, same thing, practically. He said that as far as an afterlife goes, as far as proving it, it's impossible to prove it.
Why impossible? He does not know.
Okay.
We can prove immediately.
Okay, but it's just a wager. It's a moot argument. The proofs are of a spiritual kind, rather than
it requires a little brain, otherwise it can be proved immediately.
Pardon me, I didn't catch the last part.
The spirit's soul is there.
Mm-hmm.
That can be proved immediately, provided one has brain to understand.
How do you prove that a spirit is dead?
That's very easy, just like you are a young man.
There.
But that spirit is there.
Oh. I misunderstood.
Not the spirit is dead.
Yeah,
spirit is there.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just like when you have when you were first born, you have a very small body.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are older. So where is that small body? It is no longer existing. Now you are in a young man's body. So similarly, when you are 60 years old, the body that you have now will no longer exist.
Right.
But you still exist. Even though your body has changed, your life goes on. In other words, life is not dependent on the body. The body changes.
Yeah, but you still have a body at 60.
Death is another change of body. Life will go on. The example of life going on, even though you are changing your body, you're experiencing within this one life. You've already experienced that your life goes on, even though you have changed your body so many times. So death is simply another change of body. But you've already experienced that you can exist,
yes, but
even though you have quit one body and got a new body.
Now, the point is that you are going to get another body. That's a fact.
How do you
now,
know
what
that's
kind,
a fact?
This is a fact, just like you have got already another body. Where is that child's body? Where is that boy's body? That's finished. This is the proof.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still alive.
Alive? You are always alive.
Physically,
not. Spiritually, you are always alive. This point is to be understood.
Mm.
The death taking place only of the physical body, that we have to understand.
Right, but I have never been aware of any
that
proof.
That is education.
Okay.
You are not aware because you are not educated.
Perhaps, but I have never read it. Of anyone else actually proving that there is a spiritual
afterlife. Here is the proof.
Afterlife.
He is giving proof. Therefore, I say it requires little brain. He is giving proof.
I think it requires more than education.
The first question Prabhupada asked is, what is the difference between a dead man and a living man? The body is the same, but something is missing
right. In
the dead man, in the dead body. So that is the proof that the body is not living at any time, but there is a living energy. And when that living energy is inside the body, it makes the body seem alive. And if that living energy is taken out of the body, then the body is seen as it really is, a lump of matter. The body is never alive. It is the presence of the soul within the body that animates the body.
Right, okay. That's what animate, that's the etymology of animation, anima, soul.
So your body is...
I agree with all that.
And that living energy is eternal. And when this body becomes an old man's body, or rather, when you get an old man's body, The body you have now will be finished. But you will still be alive because you are that eternal living energy.
Okay, and what I am saying is that there has never been any empirical proof of that.
But I have already explained that these senses are not the perfect instruments for experiencing reality. Just like sometimes there may be a cloud, and therefore you cannot see the sun with your senses. But that does not mean the sun is not there. It simply means your senses are not powerful enough to see. The senses are imperfect instruments for perceiving reality. The sun is always there, but sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't.
That's like night. This is night. You don't see the sun. That does not mean there is no sun.
So don't rely on empirical sense perception.
Okay, right. You're introducing here, though, the essence of all religion, and that is faith.
Faith. It's not faith, it's fact. I say that there is sun, and he cannot see if you deny. No, I don't see. There is no sun.
Well, there is no sun.
Is fact.
There is no sun now.
No,
there is no
there.
Sun present.
Sun is there. You cannot see. Say
the sun, right now, the sun in my life is not present.
It is present. That is ignorance.
I know that.
He just phoned immediately to Bombay. Is there sun? He'll say yes.
Is the sun out in Bombay?
Yeah.
I have faith that it is.
No faith, it's fact.
It is a fact not to me, though.
No.
Because
it is a fact to me that I accept only.
Then you are not very intelligent. You call your friend that where is the sun? He says, hey, it is above my head.
Right now, the sun is not above my head.
It's not your head.
Right.
You phone to a friend in Bombay, he'll say, yes, here is sun.
Right, and I have...
But that does not mean you don't believe in the sun existing. That's not a fact.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you asked me whether the sun was above my head now, and I said, no, it is not. But
no,
that does not deny...
Head and not head, sun is there. But you cannot see. That is the point.
Prabhupada is explaining the existence of the sun is not dependent upon your perceiving it through your senses. The sun is always there, but sometimes you perceive it and sometimes you don't.
Don't worry. That is your position.
You that is because I am physically limited by my body.
That is the point.
But I still don't see that as an affirmation nor as a denial.
This verse is explained to you. Sukham aptam tikam yottat tat atindriya grahyam. So we have to understand through super senses, not this blind senses.
Right. And I think
these are imperfect.
And I think in the Western world, I don't know about the Eastern world, in the Western world that understanding is called faith.
No. What Prabhupada is explaining is just like now you are seeing me through your blunt senses, by the process of Krishna consciousness, you awaken a different type of senses called transcendental senses, and it is just as real as the blunt sense perception, except it is perfect sense perception, whereas your physical senses are conditioned, limited. There are transcendental senses.
Yes, but all the input goes into the mind, right?
No, these are actual sense perception. The soul is sentient. Thou hast proved.
Okay.
Just like your body has senses, the soul also has senses. And the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna and taking the spiritual prasadam, seeing the deity in the temple, and hearing this Vedic knowledge, that awakens the soul. And thus you can experience the sense perception of the soul, the knowledge of the soul. God through the soul, sense perception. You can see God when you're very pure. And that's a fact, not faith.
There are five stages of ascending to come to the right conclusion. That this is just a pratyaksha. Directly, you do not see the sun on the sky. But the same example, if you phone your friend, where is the sun? Then he will say, yes, you are here with your son. And this is called parokha. When you get the knowledge by other sources, your direct sources you cannot see. But you get from other sources, you understand, yes, son is there in this guy.
And I have faith that it is.
You must have faith.
I trust that it is.
You have to trust.
Okay, I was listening to him, and I'm hearing a lot of okay. The brain...
No, I mean to say, there are five stages. Pratyaksha, parokha, aparokha, adhokhaya, and aparokha. So our process should be to go to the aprakrit, transcendental knowledge. This is the stages. It's like this is explained. We can directly understand that by directly I'm seeing there is no sound. But when I ask my friend, he says there is sound. So this is also knowledge. This is called parokha knowledge, from other sources. Similarly, there are stages. So when the perfect stage is, there is aprakita, no more material, all spiritual.
Okay. The brain, the mind, interprets
brain,
the senses.
Brain, mind, then instruments.
Okay, they interpret the senses,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're
okay.
The instruments.
Now,
if you see with your eyes, and then you see with microscope, then you see your telescope, different processes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
when you see with your spiritual eyes, that is perfect.
Okay, now suppose the brain dies. As in
brain dies. Brain is the part
okay.
of the body.
Right, it's part of the body. It can fail just as the heart or the lungs or anything else. Okay, now suppose the brain dies. The
you
soul...
get another brain.
Pardon me?
You get another brain. That's like
and
you are working with a glass spectacle. It breaks. You get another spectacle. That's all.
In the same body?
Yes.
Okay, now... Karen Ann Quinlan, you know her?
We don't know him.
Okay, this is a... Okay, let me explain very briefly. Here is a girl in New Jersey, near New York, whose brain has died through a traffic accident. Her body is still alive. Her body is still alive, but her brain is dead. She cannot get up, speak.
It is already explained. The brain is an instrument.
Okay.
The
now,
instrument is not working.
Right.
That is not death.
Her soul is still alive, is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Her soul is still alive. Mm-hmm. And she is still functioning spiritually, even though her brain is dead. Is that what...
That is possible. The soul is dead.
The soul is always alive, but the fact that she's being maintained means the soul is still in that body. Has not left the body yet.
Okay. Now,
the soul is always living.
Okay. Now, what is the soul in
that
a?
That is another proof that instead of, in spite of, the brain is not working. The soul is there.
Okay. But just let me finish this, and then we'll leave. How do I want to say this? Is her spiritual, her spirit, to use for the sake of that word, her spirit, is her spirit in a less active state than when her brain was alive?
Spirit is always active.
It's always active at the same level?
Not same level, because you are understanding the spirit through the body. The body is changing.
Right.
Just like the soul, when he's in the boy's body, it is talking so many nonsense. But you don't take it seriously. But when you have grown up, if you talk such nonsense, then you will be taken as a nonsense.
Okay, well,
because the body has changed.
Okay, what I was leading up to was her brain is dead. She has no...
Not dead. It is not working.
It's not working, okay. Is not working. She's getting no sensory input. She's not aware of the physical surroundings, and yet you maintain that her soul is still alive and still very active. Now, would her state, her physical state, enhance the soul's activity or detract from it?
It
has nothing to do with it. Okay, would it matter to you whether they did turn off her life-supporting apparatus? Would that make any difference?
No, it wouldn't.
There are machines that are maintaining her life.
Just like a person in a car. The car engine may fail, and the person may get out of the car, or he may linger in the car. The car is just a machine. So the soul is lingering in her body.
But it's still very active.
Yes. Just like if my car breaks down, it does not mean I have broken down. I'm the passenger.
Can she be in touch with her soul in a coma?
Well, she is soul.
She is soul.
She is the soul.
She, that personality, that's the soul.
No, when the body is broken like that, she cannot become self-realized.
She's active on the mental platform.
She's covered with the body. But she is different from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you are covered by your dress, but you are different from the same.
Okay.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Yeah. You are very intelligent, Bob.
I don't know what good that does.
Very good question. Yes.
You're very merciful, Srila Prabhupada.
You're very patient, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Consciousness. Even they don't associate temple, this and that.
That boy has some intelligence. It's just... he has to be guided a little bit.
To go this way. That the guy that comes to Guru, he was...